Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This would really be a weird thing, wouldn't it, if, say, a Roman Catholic leader of some European country were to claim confession and absolution, the sacrament of penance, something like that for his people, and say, this really belongs to us. We need to claim this again, encourage people to promote it. There in India, it's not Roman Catholicism, but is, in fact, Hinduism and a lot of other religions as well. And the new prime minister of India, Narendra Modi, has made one of his goals. It's a rather big goal. He's spoken of it before the UN, and he's actually appointed a minister for this purpose, the promotion of yoga in India, and to kind of reclaim yoga for India, because he believes it's been corrupted and watered down by the West. He says it's more. He practices himself and says it's more than just a bunch of ladies getting together at the Y to stretch and to breathe. Joining us to talk about India's new prime minister and his promotion of yoga in India, Pastor Stanish Stanley, pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. He has a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis as well. Pastor Stanley, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Is the new prime minister there in India, is he in effect promoting religion in promoting yoga, or is there a subtlety that I'm missing here?
Well, there is a subtlety that probably all of us are missing. You know, it is not only you over here sitting here in the United States of America. Even in India, see, when the elections took place in the May of 2014, there was this massive drive against the centrist government which was ruling India for the past 10 years, and it was heavily driven by the present Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his party, which is basically the Bharatiya Janata Party, which is Indian right-wing Hindu fundamentalist party, a party with all its organization. It was a massive effort to really win power, because this party basically rides or hitches itself alongside various other social organizations, or rather social religious organizations, Hindu social religious organizations like the RSS, the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, and all that. So these kind of it's the culmination of their efforts for the past 10 years that has resulted in India being delivered on a platter to the right-wing Hindu group that is ruling India right now. But we have to keep in mind that they came to power saying that they wanted to take everybody along, all minorities, every religious group, every socially underprivileged groups, along with them, because the idea was that India is going to develop. So development was the key theme in winning this victory. But ever since the development, they have formed the government at the center. What has happened is that there's a lot of communal kind of incidents happening in India. There are concerns about Christians being targeted, Muslims being targeted, but also alongside there is also the subtle way in which the elections are won in India by this particular party right now. Many of the states have gone, you know, the federal states have gone for elections, and many of them have been won by them, mainly because they kind of polarize the voters along Hindu religious lines. And it's very interesting that yoga is also kind of now at the center of all this, because they want to kind of reclaim it, as you rightly pointed out, and the article that you were also referring to points out that they want to reclaim yoga from the West, which has kind of sort of reduced it to some kind of physical exercises at the Y with moms and moms and kids doing yoga exercises and all that. So they want to bring back along with it the basic origins of yoga. From where does yoga really come? It comes from the Hindu religion, and that's their claim. And yes, it is true too. So it's an attempt to bring back, or rather, to win those people who are seeing the benefits of yoga as a non-religious, you know, exercise or any item that they want to do for their normal edification of their living, and they want to naturally kind of make the case that, hey, you know, okay, you're doing exercises, you're seeing the benefits of yoga in your everyday life, now also see the benefits of the religion which is there behind yoga, which is basically at the center of this entire system. So it's a backdoor entry which is happening, and as the article points out, there are all these schools that have been encouraged to do yoga, the kids have to learn it, and this, that, and all that. So all this is coming in a very subtle way. They're kind of, it's a part of a grand plan that is taking place in India today, I would say.
So it is an overt, it is a, as you said, kind of a backdoor way of promoting Hinduism as a national identity, as a religion as well. How would you describe, so this is something that Narendra Modi understands very well, that yoga is rooted in Hinduism and a way of promoting Hinduism is to promote yoga. How are yoga and Hinduism truly related? How would you describe that?
You rightly make the point that, yeah, Narendra Modi, the present Prime Minister of India, kind of knows this very well, the connections between yoga and Hinduism, mainly because we should also never forget this, that Narendra Modi was a regular visitor to the United States before he was kind of banned from the United States and was not given a visa because of the riots that took place under his watch in a state called Gujarat, where he was the chief minister. So, and after that, what has happened is that after 10 years, yes, he has become the great savior of India today. And on a development plank, he has come to power mainly because he's very pro-business and the corporate world kind of loves him. So that aside, the other thing that we should remember about Narendra Modi is that prior to becoming chief minister of Gujarat in 2000, he used to regularly visit the United States as a RSS pracharak. A pracharak meaning a proclaimer. He was a proclaimer of the Hindu religion or the Hindu faith here in the United States. And in fact, I also didn't know that until I came across that detail during the election time in the May of 2014. But what I want to point out is that being a proclaimer of the Hindu faith, that is his worldview. And and this is what is going out within the Hindu fundamentalist right today, which is very pro-corporate. It is. It looks at a very good. It wants to have a very good relationship, especially with the United States, because it brings business and it brings investment and all that kind of stuff in. So their worldview basically is that yes, Hinduism is this great, is this great religion, which really should be at the center, left, right, and center of the world. So yoga is one way through which the West has really realized the great potential that is there within Hinduism. Basically, yoga derives if you look at the root word of the word yoga, it's yog, which means to unite or yug to connect. Yug also another root word in Sanskrit. It's also kind of having those same connotations. It's to unite. It's to connect. It's basically the idea being that our body has to be connected to the divine, our Atman, because within Hindu religion, keep in mind, philosophically, the way Hindu religion is kind of understood, the ultimate reality is Brahman, who is this ultimate power or force which is out there. And the ending, you know, the objective of human living is basically to liberate the Atman, that is basically small manifestations of the Brahman which is there within your body. In Christian terms, you could explain it as probably a soul. So that soul or that Atman has to be liberated from the cycle of birth and rebirth and death and all that. And it has to be liberated so that it can conjoin or join with the ultimate reality, that is Brahman. Now, the only thing that is keeping this particular soul, Atman, you know, in a continuous cycle of birth and rebirth is your activities on earth, the karma that we talk about. So because of all the karma that is there, all the things that we do, the accumulation of evil and all that, you know, corrupts the Atman which is there within you. So, and as a result, it has to take birth, rebirth again and again and again, because it just cannot get out of the cycle of cycle that is there. So yoga is one way in which this Atman can be purified, because you are basically, you know, getting into a state, you are transforming your body, you are transforming your mind, you are transforming your senses in such a way that you realize that all this that is there in this world is Maya, or which is an illusion, or something which needs should not be there. With you know, your connection and your desires should not be attached to this worldly life which is here. And naturally, what happens as a result of all this is that there is a sense of cleansing that is taking place within you. As a result of which, finally, a true yogi, a person who has mastered the senses, who has mastered his body and with the divine, naturally reaches a stage where his Atman gets connected to the divine, gets connected to the Brahman that is out there. And that is basically the way a true yogi kind of achieves moksha or liberation for his soul or for his Atman. So, you know, keeping that in mind, the connection between Hinduism and yoga is a rather strong one. Historically, if you look at it, many of the claims that are made historically is that yoga can be seen in the 2000 or the 2500 BCs when the Indus Valley civilization was there. And they've kind of dug up some people who seemingly sitting in yogic postures and all that. But there is also claims that it is a pre-Vedic Hinduistic kind of a ritualistic, you know, the priestly exercise or the priestly function was that he would sit in a yogic posture to do the right kind of sacrifice to the divine. So yoga has that kind of long connection with Hinduism. But the important interesting thing over here is that we should also keep in mind that yoga is not only Hindu, because even the Jain people of the Jain faith or the people who brought out the Jain faith, they also have used yoga. The people of the Buddhist faith have used yoga. So it's not only Hinduism that can lay its complete claim to yoga. In fact, many other religions like the Sikhs also use yoga. So the interesting thing is that the Hindus find it, especially because they are emboldened with a government and also with a growing population of Hindus all over the world, especially here in the United States. They feel that yes, now it's time to reclaim something which is truly Hindu back to itself, because the Westerners have kind of corrupted it and have kind of reduced it to something like some simple exercises, which shouldn't be, you know, let to go all on its own. It has to be reclaimed back. So that's the modern Hindu or the present day Hindu kind of fervor. They want to get yoga, and through yoga probably influence more people to have a positive view or probably become Hindus.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with Pastor Stanish Stanley. We're talking about the promotion of yoga by India's new Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, and we'll talk about his appointment of a yoga minister. That sounds like again, something very unusual, but in the course of both his politics and his religious goals, I guess it makes perfect sense. Stay tuned.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Stanis Stanley is our guest pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're talking about the promotion of yoga by India's new prime minister. So does it surprise you at all, Pastor Stanley, that Narendra Modi has appointed a minister, a government minister for yoga? I don't know if they've already had one before, but it sounds, at least from the Washington Post story, that this is something new.
Of course it is something new, and I would be really surprised if Narendra Modi wouldn't do something like that. So I'm just kind of very certain and sure that he has started doing something that he would have done very long ago, and if he was prime minister then. But thankfully he was not the prime minister then, so now he's doing it, and we'll see how things go in the next 5 years, how far India is going to really move ahead with this. I don't know, and how it's going to play out, I do not know. But yes, having said that, there is no denying that yoga as a physical exercise does benefit a lot of people, especially in In the medical field and in the medical world, there are claims that, yeah, it is a very good de-stressor. It helps you to release stress. It helps you to focus better. Your concentration improves. There are claims that it helps people with heart ailments and many other physical problems. Because anyway, yoga is, in one sense, the exercise part of it. If you look at it, it is basically the concentrating of the body and the mind, the idea is that, yeah, it is also going to connect to the soul. The other thing also is that it has a soothing effect on people who are practitioners. Basically, mainly its breathing exercises is considered to be very helpful. Now, that aside, it was not surprising for me that Narendra Modi would do this. In fact, I would have expected worse than this, but how it is going, at least he has just started with yoga. I don't know what else is coming, for the present, if it has to be seen as exercises and if it has to be seen as things that are basically going to be helpful for the population of India and for the people of India, that's fine. Coming from somebody like Narendra Modi and from his government, which is very right-wing and which is very Hindu, very Hindu-centered, I don't know whether it is going to kind of just remain as an exercise. Rather, it is going to play the role of Hinduization and of furthering the Hindutva ideology to everybody. It is not that Hinduism is a monolithic culture. In fact, within Hinduism itself, there are so many different strands. And Narendra Modi and his organizations like the RSS that I talked about and the VHP, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, and the BJP basically stand for one version of Hinduism, which they claim to be the real Hinduism, that is Brahminical Hinduism. So it remains to be seen how things are going to play out and what's going to happen. But as of now, we have to just wait and watch.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Stanley, do you have concerns how this policy, the future policies, might impact Christians in India?
Oh, already impacts have started, especially in the central part of India, like Chhattisgarh, a tribal state called Chhattisgarh. There have been reports that the Roman Catholic schools, which were functioning over there, were specifically asked by the Hindu right wing BJP government over there to stop calling. The people associated with them to stop calling the church fathers as not fathers, but they should be called acharyas, which means teacher, and along with the icons of Jesus and Mother Mary and all that, there are Hindu icons which have to be placed alongside and all that. And India is going through. And if you go to an Indian news channel show, there are running debates today. Today also in the news, there was a minister from Modi's cabinet who had this happened yesterday. She in one of her campaigns said that those who know Ram, which is the Lord Ram, one of the Hindu gods, if those who don't accept Ram are not really the people of this country, their priorities or their real faith is not in India, but rather they are outsiders or the people who do not belong to India, who do not wish well for India. So these kind of comments are already coming out, and it's only a matter of time. We will see how things happen and how things play out. But it is it's probably definitely maybe business-wise, maybe India might do well, but I don't know socially how things are going to go, and already the minorities might be facing trouble. But at the same time, India is a democracy. So there are checks and balances, and we will have to wait and see how things play out in the future.
Pastor Stanley is pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure being on your show. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to do a little sermon review here on Issues Etc., a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Brian Flammey of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, on Matthew 21, verse 5, "Behold, your King is coming to you." Stay tuned. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.